Welcome back to episode 52 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy, and it's been an entire year, and my, how does time walk?
It sure does. And I'm your host, Mike Coyle. And did you hear about the commander that wanted to make custom shirts?
No.
He can dye now.
Make custom shirts.
Yeah, like he dyed a color.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah.
Please listen carefully.
This is a podcast where we talk about all things Magic Gathering,
but mostly Commander.
And before we start, we want to thank our patrons. We appreciate all of your support. And if you want to support us, you can head to patreon.com/guardianprojectpod. We have lots of fun things to give away. So come check it out.
Yeah. Other ways you can support the podcast. If you want to drop a like, a comment, make sure to subscribe in whatever venue you are listening to the podcast on. We'd really appreciate it. We are on YouTube. We have YouTube videos up of our Paper Commander streams. Check those out. We also have a TCG player affiliate link, so hop on over to guardianprojectpodcast.com for all of your singles and sealed product that you're purchasing through TCG player. Please use our affiliate link.
Please and thank you.
Thanks.
What is on the agenda today?
It's episode 52, Andy.
What does that mean, Ryan?
That means it's been a whole year.
A whole entire year.
I can talk now.
You get to talk this episode. Not that we weren't letting you talk before, because
you
don't play Magic.
Let me talk.
Now you have sentences.
You see me go near
paragraphs.
A microphone, you'd yell at me.
Yeah, we made it an entire year. So this episode, we know there's a lot happening in Magic. We've got some spoilers. We've got some rule changes for the Commander format.
Yep.
But we're going to talk about those next week.
Yep.
And this episode, we're going to talk about us.
Yes. So we're going to talk about what we learned over the last year. Mm-hmm. For me, it's more like half a year, but I still learned a lot.
20 weeks. 32 weeks.
32 weeks. It's a lot of weeks.
You started on episode 20. Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good episode.
Great episode.
I don't even remember what was on episode 20.
We can look it up.
We're going to have Ryan and Andy talk about the Guardian Project podcast origin story.
Mm-hmm.
And, We might surprise Ryan there with a little game that happens right after that one. A little bit of a game to see just how good of a Magic the Gathering player Ryan is today.
Yep. It's been a whole year.
I'll be sorely disappointed in me.
And we are going to finish out with our first collaborative Commander of the Week.
Yep. So we'll save that surprise to the very end.
That's right.
Cool. So what have we learned over the last year, or 32 weeks for Coyle?
That's right.
I've learned so much. I didn't know how to podcast. I listened to a few podcasts, but I didn't plan on hosting one. And I've learned lots, right? A lot of people have told me that I say the word sure a lot. Mm-hmm. And I realize I say it a lot.
Yeah, sure.
I was just on a video on Mr. Bever's channel. We did we cracked some packs for charity. And I think I said, sure. I think I counted a couple times, or at least maybe I assume they were in my head there, because I said, sure, when we were trying to come up with items for our episode, things we wanted to reflect back on this week.
Yeah. I mean, that's just the common pause, right? Is us.
Yeah.
Like,
and then sure.
I just go with sure.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Assuredly.
That was a good episode. I have that written down somewhere. I have to go back and look at that agenda to see what all the words were that we came up with that I could use instead of sure.
Yeah, I'd say, like, just kind of rolling into that, public speaking is something that I've always wanted to get better at. I've always been nervous. I've always been able to push through the nervousness. On a podcast, it's easy. There are no people listening to you immediately right there. If I were to walk past like a room and the podcast was like playing out loud and 30 people were listening to it, one, we made it. Awesome. Two, then maybe I'd get nervous. But no, yeah, it helps with the speaking. Like Andy said, not saying sure all the time. I know I was in drama class before and we always played games where don't say don't say ah. You know, you just have to let your lines flow. I think I've become a better speaker for that. I probably talk even more now, just in general. Big talker.
I used to overtalk you a lot, I think, on the podcast, and I've learned I need to let other people speak too. I talk a lot, though. even when we're together playing games. I think I just talk a lot. Yeah. But I did go to school for communication. So.
Well, that's fair. And I went to school for engineering, so I don't talk.
Yeah. My job is relationship management in the mortgage servicing industry. So I host events and I mean, my job is meetings all day long and leading meetings. So I think I'm just so used to that. And I also don't like dead air or awkward pauses. So I just fill up that time. Even if it's not necessary, someone's not talking, I go, yeah, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when you're in a group, when you're in public, you gotta fill that dead air. Dead air, like in an intimate relationship, is okay.
Dead air?
Dead air in an intimate relationship. Yeah. Silence is fine. Okay. Not every moment needs to have words unless you're on a podcast.
Yeah, because otherwise there'd be nothing for them to listen to.
Yeah. You want to just listen to silence? No. That's why you listen to us.
Over this last year, if you had to take a guess, and it was an episode you were on, what is our most listened to episode? So we've had a lot of topics.
An episode that I was on?
You were on it. Mm-hmm, and it's our most listened to episode of all time.
I'll be honest.
He was on it?
I know.
It was from March.
I thought before the most listened to episode ever was the Great Eldraine Breakoff episode, which I was not on.
That's what I thought with Chef Pedro.
It was not. That episode is actually much lower.
Wow. We got better.
Good for you.
We did. Well, so
we got different content. Was it? So I'm going to, I don't know what the answer is, but I'm going to say what my wish answer is.
It was in March, so it wasn't even that long ago.
Both were in February. Both were in February. Recorded in February, but they hit their most listens in March.
I can't say I know what the answer is, but I'm going to pick what my favorite episode was and hope that's it.
Okay.
And honestly, that's the one where we talked about how to construct a mana base, which might seem really boring to a lot of people.
No, it was not. Our most popular or most listened to episode was on House Rules.
Oh, House Rules was fun.
House Rules, yeah. So
that was with Judge Anthony.
No, this was not with anyone.
This was not with anyone?
This was just us. We had taken into account everybody's house rules. We found a bunch online, and then we talked to people on a lot of people on Twitter.
That's just like when you're at someone's house, the rules.
The
they
rules
make.
That they make.
I actually remember that one.
Yeah.
Which
so
is
it's
pretty insane. For
yeah.
Me.
So not official rules. Like we have a house rule when we play. We have a mulligan where when you're drawing your hand, you can just keep getting a new hand until you like it. Or until you have three lands in your hand. So we talk about this on our commander papers, paper commander streams. The point is you want everybody to be able to play the game and not get mana screwed or flooded so you can find a decent hand to play with.
Yeah, we actually developed a new house rule while playing Paper Magic over this quarantine time. And that's when we're playing Paper Magic online, Coil goes first.
Yep. So every time we play, you roll 2d6. And for some reason, if it's on camera, Coil always goes first.
That's right.
I think there's been like two times. You
got to roll them bones.
He always goes first. And he's not cheating. You can see it roll.
That's right.
I mean, there might be a weighted die.
I'm using weighted dice.
Is it
yes,
to like
that's
six,
correct.
Weighted to a 6 and a 4.
Yeah. So you can't have it go 6-6 every time. That's too easy.
Yeah. And then our second most listened to episode is the episode we did on Uncommon and non-legendary creatures that would be fun to play as a commander if they were legendary, but they're not, obviously, so.
Right. No, that was fun. And I remember that actually stemmed into the Planeswalkers as commanders topic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it might have been two episodes later when we did Planeswalkers. But yeah, no, that was actually a ton of fun.
And then the episode where we talked about how we tune our commander decks is third. And then Streaming Paper Magic, when we talked about our setups when we first started from home, that is next. And then our experience at the Theros Beyond Death pre-release. So obviously some of these are more recent episodes.
Sure.
And then what's our least listened to episode? It was spoiler season. It was one of our holiday episodes, just like the 5-10 minute episodes that we're feeling. And a lot of people weren't listening over the holidays anyway. So that's our least listened to episode. But this is episode 52.
50.
So we're going to have 52 of these now. And I think we have also learned how to record an entire episode without needing editing. Because in the beginning, we did plan on segments and then we'd stop. And we're like, can you put music in between? And Ryan's like, can't can we just like record a full episode without you guys making
mistakes?
Let's
make my life a lot easier.
To be fair, we've had what, like a total, I'd say in total, in 52 episodes, probably 5 edits, 6 edits?
If you just completely lose track.
Okay, in the last 32 episodes.
Yes, there you go.
Okay.
And especially recently, it hasn't, like, won in the past, like, 4 months.
Yeah.
Probably more.
It's just, we're professionals.
Well, we've done, yeah, all the recording from our house, so obviously we're still at home. We're social distancing, but we're together in the studio for the first time since...
March.
It's been a long time.
Yeah, so we're recording. This is June if you're listening to this, and you know, one
in the before or the after.
In
no,
the before
you can't,
or the
you
after.
Can't hear,
really go back.
You can't
hear listen
it in
to this
before,
in the before time.
But if
maybe,
if,
maybe
if
they
you,
could.
If you're just listening to this show and it's like 2021, it was June in 2020 when we're recording this.
That's right.
No, we have not been here in months.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And I've been recording in my stream room upstairs at my house, and it's really hot upstairs at my house. The air conditioning just doesn't like to make its way to that room. It does not well.
See, I have the opposite problem because I record in my basement, which Andy, you've been there before and you know that you should bring a blanket.
I had to have Coyle. I love air conditioning. Coyle knows to turn, or Ryan knows to turn his air on before we come over to record. And we were in his basement one time, and I was like, okay, you need to turn off your, I don't know what you need to do, but you need to either turn on the heat, you need to turn off your air. I was shivering. Mm-hmm. I was shivering in his basement playing. It was his tactic, right? That was how he was going to win. He's like, throw them off their game, make them so cold.
I think we were playing D&D, to be fair.
I think you're right.
In which case, I do play a rogue, and I do try to be the last one standing at the end of the campaign, so you're also right. Everyone will die.
I didn't die at the end of that campaign.
No, so I failed.
Our DM said that I was one of the hardest characters he allowed to get to that point and then also could not kill.
Yes, the quote-unquote merfolk you were playing where you could shape yourself into water and do...
Turn into... I become a puddle. He's like, okay.
It's like, I think I'm going to tidal wave 4 times this fight so that I can leave 2 spells up for the next fight. It's like, mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think also, well, you started playing D&D, right, Ryan?
We've made characters. Like Thursday, we're gonna do the first.
What's your character?
I'm a human. I'm a fighter.
I don't know how this all works either. I'm listening and hearing words about D&D
with the soldier background.
Yeah, it's great. You're starting at level 1 in your campaign?
I'm gonna guess. Yes.
Okay, if you haven't leveled up your character, you're probably starting at level 1. You're going to have fun.
I made him last week, so.
Did you know
that? My backstory is my dads were murdered, and I'm avenging their death.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love it.
Did you know that?
I don't know if I was supposed to make a backstory. But
absolutely you are. You absolutely should. But did you know that Dungeons & Dragons is owned by Wizards of the Coast, who also owns Magic the Gathering?
I did.
Pew, 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 pew.
Did you know that there's campaign books for Dungeons & Dragons where you can go into the Magic the Gathering universe?
He told me that.
And did you know that there is a brand...
He points at Andrew.
I did.
Did you know there's a brand new book for Theros?
Yes.
No.
It's fun.
But there's one for the best plane in the whole world.
There's not Ravnica. One for Amonkhet.
What is it?
Ravnica.
It's Ravnica, yeah. There is one for Amonkhet. What else have we learned over the last year?
I learned how to use Twitter.
You did. And you've even changed your name.
I have. I was originally Squeaky Pig MTG.
Squeaky Pig'em.
And Squeaky Pig M, because for some reason it left off the TG. I was like Coil MTG or something. And then I did a purchase off of TCG Player. And someone threw out the word Worm Coil Engine and then just switched the spelling of Coil to my last name. And I went, oh, I found my new Twitter handle. Ryan was disappointed. The Magic community rejoiced.
You got followers because you had such a good name.
Yeah, it's amazing.
People were like, snap, follow. That was such a good name. Yeah. I got to find something that has the word Flory in it.
There's a lot of florals.
Yeah. Maybe I'm never going to find my name.
Probably not.
Nope, I'm never going to find my name. What else have we learned? I know to come prepared now, right? So we started the first few episodes with some ideas, and now we have full agendas.
Yes.
So we do have that. And Commander of the Week has been fun, and I've learned that I have a lot of Commander decks.
Yeah, we have not gone through all of our decks yet.
No, we're not even... At this point, we have decks that people have showed us, and we were going to talk about. And but we wanted to kind of get through ours first, and... I have, I think, 34 commander decks that I've loaded just over the years. Mm-hmm. I don't play all of them anymore, mm-hmm. but since I've been doing the year of EDH where I log every game,
yep.
I've realized that I haven't even played all of my decks yet this year. And I've played over 180 games now.
Mm-hmm. I think there might only be like two decks maybe that I haven't done for Commander of the Week yet.
Oh, so you're getting towards the end of your list.
But I have like three more brews that I'm finishing right now. So
because everything just keeps yeah, because new commanders keep coming up and you just make new decks.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So that's always fun. Obviously we talked about it before. We learned how to do paper commander through webcams.
Yeah, it's been, not only did we do that, right? We started streaming Arena, which I had been meaning to stream for a long time. COVID, when we got, you know, when everybody went home and kind of stayed at home, it kind of was like that push we needed to, well, let's just set this up. Let's start recording videos. Let's make this look a little nicer. Let's start reaching out to other folks in the community, have them join streams. Tonight we're streaming with Tap That MTG. We've streamed with Commander 99. We've streamed with folks. We're going to be streaming later this week with Commander Social. Mm-hmm. I got to stream with Mana Curves, mm-hmm. Chase, a couple months ago on her channel. We've met a lot of people through the show now,
tons.
Which is nice. And I feel like we would have let a lot more. We would have met a lot more had obviously all of the events not been canceled,
right.
Understandably.
Right.
But I remember we even found out live when we were recording our episode that Magic Fest Detroit was canceled.
Yeah, that's right.
A couple months ago. Mm-hmm. We were actually recording and someone texted me and said, I know you're recording, but Magic Fest is canceled. And I think we actually talked about it right live on the show and said, oh, well, we get it. We went to Command Fest Chicago, though.
We did.
Last year.
That was a ton of fun.
That was really great. So I'm hoping we see more of those. And then Command Fest Online was this past week.
Yes.
I didn't play a ton because we were recording and some other things, but I did watch a few games. It seemed like a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. They raised a lot of money for charity.
Which was awesome.
Yeah. So it'd be nice to see a lot more of that.
Yeah.
And since a lot of people now have set up their Commander streams at home, mm-hmm. so it doesn't feel any different other than it'd be nice to be able to, you know, riff and look at people sitting at the same table.
Very true.
You can't make angry glares at people when they destroy your board so that they know you're angry.
I actually feel like, and maybe you don't think this, and maybe this is only me thinking from my perspective, I feel like I've become less salty of a player when playing online because I don't have that like personable interaction and I can always just turn around and play another game. And so I've become more accepting of losing.
Yeah.
And I know this is a question I keep bringing up and we're not going to discuss this, but I think we might have an episode on it.
Yeah, we'll have to. We can have a bunch of people on that we've talked to about this too.
Yeah. So for all the people that are making statistics for all of your commander decks, like Andy just mentioned for the year of commander, I want you to think about this question so that we can talk to you about it and have an episode. Is a 25% win rate on your commander deck a perfectly balanced commander deck? Just think about that for a while.
Is 80% win rate balanced? The answer is no.
The answer is no, but good on you.
Edric Spymaster of Trest. Put that down. Don't play with that deck. It's mean.
My Edric deck was fair.
Mine is not.
You told me to make Edric. That was one of my first decks that I built.
Was it really?
Yep. So it was Mogus, God of Slaughter was my first. Oh, wait. God of Slaughter? Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That was my first deck that I built, and I think Edric was the third. So it was Mogus, She-Ray, Edric.
Then I bought all your Edric cards off you.
Yeah, all the 1/1 unblockables that cost 2 cents. Sure.
Yeah, and then I added all the extra turns cards, and that's why that deck is dumb.
Uh-huh.
It'd be way better if you just didn't play all the extra turns cards.
You're still winning with Triumph of the Hordes at the end.
I don't think I run that.
Oh, really?
I don't.
I guess you don't need to if you're taking four extra turns, five extra turns in a row.
Yeah, you don't need to. No, I have learned also over the last year that there are certain deck styles that I just don't like to play because they're not fun with people. Mm. And I just don't like playing them or playing against them. Mm-hmm. So since we started playing and we've been thinking about it and talking about it, I don't like Voltron decks mm-hmm. because whoever gets targeted first is mad.
Yep.
They shouldn't be, right? I mean, that's the deck.
That's Voltron.
But I don't want to be the person. That's Voltron. I don't want to be the person that makes anyone mad.
Sure.
So I don't play those decks anymore. I have a Lazav the Multifarious deck that literally wins through Infect. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I guess sometimes it could just be commander damage, but I don't play it as much as I would really like to
sure.
because it upsets people.
Sure.
But, and I think that decks that hurt everyone equally mm-hmm. but are broken get way less crap.
Because at least the game then ends and then you can go to a new one, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I almost said that word that I said that I say too much.
But, sure.
But I didn't. I just like thought about it and just moved on. See, I'm learning. I'm growing as a podcaster.
That's right.
So I think playing decks that, I don't know, I have the Locust God deck. And if I can get the Locust God out, and either I wheel a couple times or I just get a Purphoros out and draw a couple of cards, the game just ends and no one is actually frustrated. They just know it's a good deck. They said, okay, well, that ended. That was a really good deck. But if you play Lazav, if you take one person out one turn and then someone out the next turn and then the last person out, even if it's three turns right in a row, like real fast,
sure.
people are really frustrated about it.
Yeah.
Get really angry. Mm-hmm. And I don't like being like, subjected to that or putting that on someone.
Sure.
So, because I get it. I get having someone choose you like six times for their swings with, mm-hmm. with not even small things, but huge. You're like,
right.
I don't know what is happening.
Right.
So that's what I've learned is I don't think I can build a deck of that style anymore.
I was afraid that my Otrimi deck was going to turn into that because I can make a 6/6 unblockable that is my commander. But I found that in that particular style of deck, mutate, you know, it's very different, but that particular style deck, it's actually better to spread the damage out, so I tend to not have that problem.
I've played against that deck what, 6 or 7 times now mm-hmm. over the last couple of weeks. If you've been watching our commander streams, you've probably seen it a few times. It's really good, but it can do something different each time. Like, we lost at instant speed to you mutating with the creature on it. I think it's called Insatiable Hemophage that
yes.
has whenever it mutates, your opponents lose life and you gain life equal to the number of times it's mutated.
Yep.
We lost to that at instant speed. Another time we've lost because you were able to get Gem Razor back like 6 times.
That was pretty nice.
That was cool. But you could swing with commander damage if you wanted
you
to.
You can. You have that option open, which is nice. But if you want to close a pot out with that deck, you want to spread the damage out. So. But I don't know if I really have a straight Voltron deck right now. I'm like, even my Kranko deck, Kranko Tin Street Kingpin, is not really Voltron.
It's mostly the creatures.
It's mostly Go Wide.
The tokens that you're making.
Exactly.
So I don't like playing that deck style. And I've learned in the last year, and I may have picked this up from you. It's just because I didn't build this way before, but I like playing consistent decks mm-hmm. with a lot of tutors now. It doesn't make for fun gameplay online, but
well,
I like playing with a commander that's not as popular, but using things that make it better. Like, I really like my Lysolde the Blood Witch deck, mm-hmm. but it's not really a Lysolde deck. It's really just an infinite mana deck
yep.
with World Gorder Dragon and anime deck.
Yeah, but I mean, you're playing colors you want to play, you're playing things you want to do, and as long as everyone at the table understands that that's what you're playing, then that's cool.
Yeah. So I've liked that. And I think I've learned just a lot about what I do and don't officially like. I mean, we've been playing Commander for a couple of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it just solidified that I just don't like that deck. But I do like playing Commander decks that like almost 100% rely on the Commander. I don't have good stuff value decks.
Right.
I want my Commander out in every game.
Yeah, I can agree with that. No more Aloro. I don't play Aloro anymore, so that's good.
And you didn't play that one very much before. And I don't play Narsa anymore.
Right.
That was one of my, it was my first foray into like a competitive deck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Narsa turns with other just giant stuff. And it was not fun for anyone. And it played land destruction.
I will say, when I built like my version of the competitive deck, I know that was one time that I was the saltiest I've ever been in my life.
Was that which one?
That was when we walked out of Rochester and I had to apologize to
you. Oh, because I targeted a big spell. He tried to go off And
I thought we were both trying to beat one other person in the pod, and it's like, no, I'm gonna try to win myself, which is totally reasonable. Okay, so, I don't know why
so,
I thought that.
So fun. Okay, so let's just tell that story real quick. Sure. Though, right. So we were at a 3-man pod at the one shop we were playing at. There was it goes, you play a 4-man, and then everybody who, you know, if you came in first, you go to the table and you play with all the people who came in first. It's, I mean, there really isn't a first, second, third, and fourth in here, but when you're playing at a league, there are, you know, there is.
Yep.
So we go to the next table, and all of us said, well, let's play the strongest deck we have. Yep. Just let's, because it seemed fun.
And it was a first place table.
It was a first place table. We said, let's just do it. And I didn't think I had any shot anyway. Was I playing Narset?
You were playing Narset, and I dropped a Meek Stone.
Yeah, so I couldn't untap and swing with my only creature. And yep. I go, okay. I mean, I was like, well, that happens. So Coil tries to combo off on his turn, and I had a counterspell, but I wasn't going to use it. I really wasn't.
Right.
And I realized what was happening, and so the person across from me counters it. And I said, okay. Right.
And I Imps Mischief that counter.
And then I countered that.
Yep.
And yeah, I think tensions obviously have been high. Were high.
They were.
That day, because it was, you were like, oh, I think I actually have this.
Yeah.
And I think we've all been there where you're like, son of a.
Yeah.
Are you kidding me right now? I had this locked up.
If I had one more turn.
if I just had one more turn or one more force of will or whatever it is that you needed.
Right.
But that was a long time ago.
That was.
That was before. I mean, that was a year and a half ago. Yeah. I mean, that was well before we started the podcast.
Yeah. The person we were playing with actually doesn't even live in the city anymore.
Yeah, no. So I don't know how we got on that topic. How do we get to this?
I don't know. I only had one.
We haven't rambled in a while.
I only had one more thing that.
Okay, we'll go back to tell us what you learned.
Yeah,
everybody, if you remember, tweet at us. No, you tell us. Do you remember what we were on?
I thought you were talking about how you're more patient.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
that's what it
You've
was.
You've learned to.
I have learned patience. Fun. Yeah, you know, it's fun winning, but I've learned to have fun just playing the game too. Like I had fun playing the game before, but it was always more fun to win. But now I find it's more fun when interesting interactions happen more than it is when I win. So,
like when a Magus of the Moat's out and that interesting action is people can't swing unless their creatures are flying. No. Super interesting.
Yeah, and I have a Zatalpa out and I'm like, oh, okay, well, we still got this then, right? And then Zatalpa gets bounced to my hand and I can't cast spells anymore.
Super interesting.
Super interesting.
Roll interesting.
No, so the last thing that I learned this year, contrary to one of my New Year's resolutions.
Oh?
Is that black really is the best color in Magic the Gathering.
Yeah.
I think so. I looked at... So I said I was going to play less black decks, and I look at what...
Well, I feel like you have.
Otremi?
It's in it, though.
Otremi, Salt... So the decks I've built since talking about that are like Otremi and Hogak and... I mean, I've been playing a lot of my Nicol Bolas deck. All of the decks play black. I can't get away from
it. But they're not mono black, and you're not winning with Torment of Hailfire and just Cabal Coffers and Urborg, which is what you were doing.
That's true.
What felt like almost every game for like the first probably 6 months you started playing a mono black deck. Mm-hmm. It was Koi used to play mono black, Sidisi, Undead Vizier, and it was just get the one land, get the other land, and then you either Exsanguinate or you Torment of Hailfire. Mm-hmm. And it was every game, and we were like, we're done.
That's what
you
happens.
You need to take this apart. We are done.
That's what happens when you have a tutor in the command zone.
Yeah. Yeah. No, totally fair. Totally fair. So I think we've learned a lot over the last year. We've met a lot of really fun people.
Absolutely.
A lot of people on Twitter that talk to us consistently. We really appreciate all of you. Anybody who's donated to the podcast, we want to thank you for all of your contributions. It's really been a lot of fun.
It's tons of fun.
So going back to the beginning, Ryan, you were really the reason why we have the podcast. And we were going to talk about, or I wanted you to tell the story about how this came to be. Where did all of this idea start?
Well, Andy and I have known each other since
you were
2007.
Way before
my best friend.
Yeah, so I've known Ryan because he's my brother's friend. We're friends now. Best friend. I'm sorry, best friend.
Yes.
And now I see you more. Then I saw my brother.
I was at your wedding.
You were at my, yeah, you did. You filmed my wedding. So Brian is all, or Ryan also does photography and videography. So he filmed my wedding.
It was fun. It was beautiful.
It was hot in Key West in August in hurricane season. I don't know what I was thinking, but I digress.
And I became friends with Andy 2 weeks before that wedding.
You did. I met Coyle like 2 weeks before. No, it was that probably like a month or so.
We became friends 2 weeks before that.
Oh, wedding. Yeah. Yeah.
That wedding is when I found out you liked Magic the Gathering. In Alex's speech, he made fun of the fact that you were all of a sudden a big Magic the Gathering fan.
Yes. Yeah, so my husband played Magic with Brian, our old co-host. And, I started playing Magic because we didn't want to play board games like Dominion or Catan anymore. We had played them every weekend for months, and they said, why don't you play Magic? I did not like it when I started. I played Mono Red. It was a kitchen table 60 card deck, and it was full of cards like Lightning Bolts and like, I don't know, something else. And it wasn't fun to me. And now I know I don't particularly play Mono Red, but that's how I started playing Magic. But yeah, so at my wedding, they did talk about Magic.
But your cousins were holding a bonfire, and Alex dragged me to it. Uh-huh. And at that time, I was like listening to a lot of podcasts, and I was talking to Nick, your husband, just being like, I want to make a podcast so bad. He's like, oh, so what are you going to make it? I'm like, I don't want to be on a podcast. I just want to make a podcast.
I wasn't really listening to the story either. You guys were just chatting because I was at the bonfire. You guys were chatting off to the side.
Yeah, I was telling them how everyone I was talking to, I was like, you can make that a podcast. Do you want a podcast? I'll make you a podcast.
And you asked me.
Yeah, because Nick said, oh, Andy kind of wants it. I'm like, hey, Andy.
So I bought a Blue Yeti mic. I bought all my webcam stuff. I was going to start streaming video games previously. I was going to play a lot of, I think I was going to do like Pokemon or something, just because I had a like a capture card, and I was like, oh, I'm going to do this whole thing. And then I moved. I got a new job. I got my first professional job, and then I started grad school, and it didn't happen when I bought all that stuff. So Ryan said, do you want a podcast? And I said, I don't know. I want to co-host. I definitely don't want to do it alone. Like I mean, you can do it alone really well, but I said, it's easier, I think, with two, because you can bounce off of each other. Mm-hmm. And so I said, I don't know. I'll reach out to you if I want it. And I think like 2 months or 3 months went by where nothing was happening.
It was a while. Yeah.
And then I called you and said, you still interested in that podcast thing? And that's kind of how this all started.
Yeah.
And I called Brian and said, you want to start this podcast? And then Brian got married. And then Brian got busy with school, and now he's working in the mortgage servicing industry as well, or mortgage lending. I think he's more in lending. I think he's in lending. But and then Coyle came on episode 20, and now here's where we are.
Yeah, I turned that room upstairs into a studio before anyone wanted to do a podcast.
So we record at Ryan's house, and we were recording in his living room, our studio right now, and then it's turning back into a studio, and it sounds like we're going to move back up to that room, where I hope he turns the air conditioning on well before we get here, because it gets real hot in that room.
Yeah, and I have to sit on the leather couch because you take the chair right away.
I take a chair, and then Coyle sticks to the leather couch. Yeah.
There might be different furniture.
Ooh, new furniture in the studio.
I hope everything's leather so that Andy also sticks to his chair.
Only leather.
So we didn't know where to even begin. We didn't, you know, we had our Blue Yetis, which are perfectly fine to record. We've been recording all of our episodes in quarantine on our Blue Yetis.
Yep.
This episode might sound a little better, you know, now that we're back in the studio using Ryan's microphones. But we didn't even know where to start. So Ryan said, oh, I've got this website. We'll distribute it through Anchor, and then we'll get you here. And then we made tokens. So Ryan made us dry erase tokens that I ordered them wrong. So the dry erase part is on the wrong side of the card. I didn't order them wrong. When we looked at it, it said front and back.
Yeah.
But I think maybe the company that we ordered them through flipped them, thinking that we need it the other way. I don't know.
Right.
The order says what we believe should have happened. So when we order our next batch, they really will be dry erase.
Yes.
But right now we just put them in a sleeve and then use dry erase marker on them. But they're really cool. I'm sure you've seen them on Twitter. We sent them out to a bunch of people.
Cube Draft posted it.
Yes.
OG fan.
OG. So CubeDraft did send us a lot of stuff for the podcast throughout the year. So we've opened lots of packs. We have stuff to give away. We just sent him a ton of tokens for his cube. And then we sent him a full Noyandar deck. Because it's my plan to get everyone in the world playing Noyandar.
I will never play.
Everyone will play blue-white control. Blue-white bounce. It's less control. It's more just bounce. Yeah. Is that control?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that is control.
I bounce my own stuff, too.
Uh-huh.
All my non-lands.
Right. Noyandar.
So that. And then we didn't know how to distribute. And, Ryan also made our website for us. So the GuardianProjectPodcast.com. Ryan made that website. And then we had our logo commissioned.
Mm-hmm.
And...
I mean, even the podcast changed, even with content. Originally, it was a, Magic the Gathering, what happened this week news thing. And we're very focused on Commander now, the format that we play the most.
Yeah.
Mostly Commander.
But mostly. So we do talk about everything still. We do. We don't dedicate full episodes to non-Commander content, but we'd like to do more than just the podcast once a week. I'm starting my last class of grad school the week after next, and then I'll be officially done. So I'll have a lot more time when I don't have to worry about school at all. We would like to start recording deck techs and making video content, because right now our only video content is of paper Commander games. So we're not really, our faces are not really in the content.
Right.
But we want to start doing maybe like some Commander deck building streams, 20 minute stream, 30 minute stream here or there. We've got it all set up in OBS, which we've also learned how to use.
Yeah.
That has a learning curve.
Yeah. I bought a webcam to do a charity. We did budget decks one time, and we were doing, I'm sorry, I can't remember. We were raising money for St. Jude's, which is a...
It was through Beaumont Hospital.
Oh, yeah, you're right. It was through Beaumont, and it's a program called Extra Life, which raised money for cancer research, specifically for children's cancers. And I asked my play group if they would come over and record a video and do some live streaming and try to raise a little bit of money. I think we raised like $100, but every bit counts.
A 5-man game of Commander on video.
Yeah.
You edited fully.
That hurt. It hurts to edit.
Coyle added every single image for every card played in a 5-man pod for that video.
Including token creation.
Oh.
when our buddy Ryan was playing Valduk in one of his, and he'd create 5 tokens and that would... Boop, 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 boop.
I vaguely, it's been so long, I feel like I don't remember that, but you also probably spent 20 hours on that video and I just played it and then went home.
It was a lot of hours, and it doesn't look like I put that many hours into the video.
Now we know that we wouldn't record again with a 5-man pod, right? We'd want to do 4. And now that we have access to Spelltable, wonderful program.
Yeah, shout out.
So much easier to record paper Commander games. So we did use Whereby when we first started. So on the Play EDH
Discord,
they use Discord for audio and Whereby for your gaming. Is it still Whereby, or have they switched over to Spelltable?
I think they support both. Support. But I think they actually did tend to switch. It says in their comments that you can use either, but I think most of the people there do use Spelltable now.
I think it's just now that it was pushed forward. They even announced when COVID, kind of started, and they said, we see the need, we've been working on this, let's push it forward. There's been a lot of iterations. There's been a lot of enhancements. We've seen changes. And it's really great. We've even had John from one of the creators of Spelltable joined us when he hopped into one of our streams when we were streaming. And that was really cool. Coyle pressed the back button on his browser on accident.
My screen went black and he went, oh no, what's happening? This was a week or two before Command Fest Online. And Spelltable is one of the featured partners or whatever you want to call it for Command Fest Online. And it went black. It's like, we're trying to figure out all the glitches here, so please tell me what just happened.
And he goes, oops, I pressed the back button. Yep, user, and he goes, oh yeah, error. You can't do that. But... No, so Spelltable has been really great to record. So, that's kind of how we got here. And now that's all the content we've been creating and looking to create. But Ryan.
Yes.
we would like to ask you to tell us all the things or the magic terms that you can think of. Now that we've been doing this for a year, we want to know how well we've done. So by asking someone who knows nothing about magic, right? Because Ryan knew nothing. We will know officially what phrases someone would have taken from our show.
No, no pressure, but if you say the right five things in a row, I get a bingo.
So we are going to build bingo.
We talked about this just before we came over.
It was so, if we had thought about it like 3 days earlier, we would have made bingo sheets and crossed them off and see who could get bingo first. So tell us all the things you know about Magic the Gathering.
Every term. I'm holding up three fingers because I have three things I know you're going to say.
I also,
so what do
expect...
you think the first thing I'm going to say is?
Well, you got to say it and yeah. then they'll put it down.
Hogak.
Yes. Okay. And then I know number two. What's number two going to be?
Ravnica.
You yeah. got it.
He's not going to know yours.
He probably won't.
Mono black.
Yes! Yes! That's a bingo!
That's not bingo. You have to
we're
have
playing
least...
three. We're playing tic-tac-toe bingo here, okay?
Okay. All right, fine. I was like, that's not enough. You need at least one more with a free space to have won that.
I get two free spaces because I play mono black, and mono black's basically cheating.
Oh, yeah, okay. You tutored for that free one, okay?
Yep.
All right, tell us what else you know. What else can you think of? All right, so you already said the Great Eldraine Bake-Off, so we'll count that. So Eldraine is a what?
Oh, that's...
Yeah.
They fly in the air.
Okay, that's a good one.
Yeah, giant metal that flies in the air.
Yeah, that...
Think about
it. I don't know if he knows this. I don't know.
Giant metal.
Think about real life.
Satellite. When you went to my wedding... You had to go to
oh, plane. You
had to, yeah, it's
oh,
a plane.
Sorry, you know me. I'm all about the play on words.
All about the play on okay. words, right? So Eldraine, that's one of the planes that we've been to.
I was
gonna
say tapped, untapped.
Tapped and untapped. There you go. Do that with cards. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know all the colors? You know black.
Red, blue, green.
Mm-hmm. Uh huh.
White.
White. You There's got five it. Colors.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there is colorless. That's a little, you know, advanced yeah. here.
And also no color.
Yeah. And generic.
Yeah.
Generic and then Nigeric. Colorless. Mm-hmm. As my mom says, Nigeric. She always says Nigeric instead of generic. So we always just say Nigeric now.
And then there's different formats you can play.
Yeah.
So Commander.
What's Brian's favorite format?
It's.
Well, just name them all. Name all the ones you know. That's a little.
I know. I can think of it's
okay.
Like the original one. What is that?
The original?
No, the original would probably be standard.
Standard. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. You didn't say that yet, did you?
Dang it!
No.
He's tricking me.
And then there's draft.
Draft. And arena.
Arena. It's a
Pioneer's new. Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
JC was on from the Mana Vault, mm-hmm. talked about Pioneer with us. Mm-hmm. They have a show. Go check them out on YouTube. Austin was also on, and he talked about the modern meta matchups.
That's Brian's favorite format is modern.
Modern.
Yeah.
Dang, it's okay.
Dang it.
We're a PG-13 podcast now. That's what we say.
If you're under the age of 13, don't repeat those words.
I hope there's a parent with
it. What else?
What else magic do you know?
What do you attack things with in magic? Do you know? The permanent subtype?
It's not a monster, it's a
creature.
Yeah.
And do you know I'm doing this off the top of my head. This 7 mana cost green enchantment that rhymes with Pependapars Papurchins.
The first word does not.
Zendikar's Resurgence.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so proud.
But do you play mono green Zenith? What is it called?
Green Sun Zenith.
I play Green Sun Zenith.
Okay, so the week that I said I play Green Sun Zenith, Ryan was editing the episode and thought it was the funniest thing. And he put it on repeat and goes, I'm just going to have the episode end with Andy going, I play Green Sun Zenith. I play Green Sun's View. It was for like 35 seconds and we were crying. Yeah. It was so funny. I was like, we cannot end the episode that way. But now we laugh and Ryan says, I play Green Sun's View. Mm-hmm. There was also an episode. They tell me that when I started the episode, I said, welcome.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
I did not hear it.
Until you reheard it?
I still don't.
You said it.
It sounds
Andy,
like
I'm
I
sorry.
Say it to just say welcome.
Well.
I'm just also still thinking of magic things.
Okay, yeah, still. Okay, so tell us about more magic things.
Mana.
Mana.
You need that.
You need it. It's your lands. Stuff. Yep. Yep.
That's
lands.
Very true.
Lands.
Yeah, those produce mana most of the time. Not always.
You wanna draw cards. That's,
that's the best thing you can do. See, he knows it. He's going to be playing blue-white soon.
How do you win a game of Magic the Gathering?
The other person loses.
that's one way. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Do you know how the other person loses?
I mean, I think by saying the other person loses, he covers all the bases, technically.
There's cases where it just says you win.
In
which case they lose? Sure.
It was kind of a loaded question because there's like a million different ways you
there
can win a
are.
Game.
All right. Can you tell us what Thassa's
When people quit, because I watched you guys stream and people would leave before it actually ended. Isn't there a term for that?
Scooping. Yeah.
You can scoop when you know you're going to lose. You're like, you know what? Writing's on the wall.
Like one of my favorite playmats I saw. It's a tipped over salt shaker. And the phrase says, you know, you can scoop at instant speed. I just thought it. I think that's a funny play, man.
Yeah. There's times when you do it, you're like, I know what's in this deck. There's nothing that's going to turn this around for me. Let's just go to game two and let's all just play again.
Yeah. Game two.
Or game three. Or, you know, if it's 3 o'clock in the morning, you might go to game 12. And we've done that before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You want to let your friends go home before the sun goes up, though. That's important.
Yep. Though, and the one time that happened, we offered multiple times and you guys stuck around.
Yeah.
Till the sun came up.
Yep.
When I played Zedru with no win cons. So that happened.
There's a banned list.
Yes.
And an unbanned list.
That would be every card that isn't on the banned list, I suppose. Yeah, I guess that's so. True.
I guess there's an unbanned list for that week, and then it's just unbanned.
Oh, yeah, like little, yeah, if cards do get unbanned. When's the last time a card was unbanned?
And Painter's Servant was unbanned this past year, and I purchased that for my Momir Vig deck that I played 4 times and took apart because it was very difficult to pilot.
That deck just seems like so much fun to me.
It was, and now I can't find it. It's in my house somewhere. Do not know where it is. There's a lot of expensive cards sitting somewhere in a pile.
I feel like I just saw it, while I was at your house.
Like 20 minutes ago?
Mm-hmm.
I don't... If it's sitting out, I'd be so frustrated because I've been looking for that thing for weeks now.
Believe me, I have piles in my house where it's like, I knew I was building that deck. Where's that pile?
LGS is a local game shop.
Yeah. You took all of our photos, fun fact. Our photos for our podcast were taken at Rochester Sports and Memorabilia in Rochester Hills, Michigan.
LGS.
You came in and you...
Took
a lot of photos. Yeah. We did make sure that everybody was cool with it. Yep. You know, the shop owner did say, just if you're going to take someone's photo, make sure they're cool with being in it. So there's a couple of people in that. So that's where those photos were taken. And then we didn't get to take photos because it didn't work out, but we did a charity event for, was it Gleaners? It was a canned food drive. And we did that at one of our other LGSs, Gamers Gauntlet, in Clinton Township, Michigan. So check both of those places out. Really great places. We did a canned food drive there. And at that shop, they have a huge Yu-Gi-Oh! Turnout. Mm-hmm. Like they've got cases of cards for Magic, but they have a lot of cases for Yu-Gi-Oh! As well. And it was a competition there between the Yu-Gi-Oh! And the Magic players. And the Magic players blew them out of the water.
Woo-woo. It turns out Magic's more expensive and you need more money to play the game.
But we have...
That was going to be my next thing. I was going to be like, this is an expensive hobby.
It is a very expensive hobby.
Yes. You can do it in a budget way. But
absolutely.
Even in a budget way, you're looking at like $25-$50, which, you know, as a kid, if I started playing Magic, that would be a lot of money.
Holy cow. Yeah.
So it is an expensive game.
Because Brian would make a bunch of budget decks. Because he worked at an LGS.
Yeah, so Brian works at an LGS. He used to work at an LGS. And he would pull decks all day. And he goes, every time Commander's Quarters releases this deck, I get 50 orders for that deck. He goes, so it's first come, first serve, because he goes, we only have so many copies of some random common or some random uncommon that you need to use in this deck, because it just breaks this commander or whatever. And he goes, sorry, we don't have this one card from 17 years ago anymore.
Yeah. Bless you, Mitch, and all of your content. But
love it. Yeah.
You're keeping LGSs alive by selling all of their draft chaff, but there's one person at every store that probably doesn't like you very much for having to build all of these decks.
Brian said, I've told him, I said, what is the worst part of being at an LGS? And he goes, I get like 30 commander decks a day. He goes, oh my gosh. He goes, the good thing though is that I know at least where all the cards are now, because I've been in the Champion or Savior's Kamigawa box 7 times because this new commander came out that cares about this one card or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. So that's fun.
That's all I got.
That's all you got. That's a lot.
It's a lot.
You got a lot.
You have absorbed a lot of information.
You only expected 3 things out of me.
No, so. I only got a bingo with those 3 things out of you.
we expect a lot from you. Okay.
Thank you.
We do.
And we do appreciate all the work that you do for us.
We do.
A lot.
Yeah. We would not be producing a weekly podcast that was at least this good of quality without your help. So you edit everything and you found our music, which was really nice. So Ryan, who is it? Tell everybody, in case you want to find the full song, which is really long.
Oh yeah, it's like a 3-4 minute song. It's 2 songs.
Actually, the summary is in every single one of our descriptions for our videos.
Yes. Jazar. It was on the Free Music Archive, which is a website where you could find free music for content.
In an archive?
It is an archive, yes.
Oh.
I forget. Oh. What did I tell you? So when you said, all right, let's find music for the intro and the outro, I sent you some songs. And I said, think. And I gave you an artist. And I can't remember. Oh, it was it Gautier? It was Gautier.
Yeah,
it was. And I said, I like this feel. And it was one song by Gautier. And
he's got one song.
One song that people know. Somebody that I used to know. But it wasn't that. That's not the song I gave you for this. Make out like it never ended and we were nothing. So that's not the song I gave you. But there was another song that I just really liked the music. And you found this. And that's the music we've used. So
I was telling Andy right before we walked in that we know we made it if we ever get copyright strike on YouTube for singing a song too much.
They won't recognize you because we're not the best at singing.
Oh, thank goodness for that.
Thank goodness. But as a gift for everything that you've done for us for the first year, we made you your very own commander deck. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to talk about it as Commander of the Week.
Our first collaborative deck.
Our first collaborative deck. But we got you a deck and a deck box and dice. And then we also remembered for the first time to also bring you your very own tokens that you created. So you have them here now. It was so funny because we created the tokens specifically for Magic Fest Detroit and said, we want to have these so we can hand them out to some people and just chat and it'll be fun. And then everything was canceled. And Ryan said, you need to bring the token so I can see it. And I forgot for 3 weeks in a row. Mm-hmm. And then the stay-at-home order went in and then I wasn't over here.
That's
so
great.
So we built a commander deck for Ryan.
Very on flavor for the title of the podcast, Guardian Project. We built a Simic deck.
Simic is green and blue. And here, we'll let you read the title of what read the card name.
Just remember, number one rule in Magic is reading the card explains the card.
Yeah, so why don't you read the card to us?
Cumena, Tyrant of Orazca.
Orazca. Yeah, close.
That's really close.
Uh-huh. So it is a Merfolk deck. So why don't so go ahead and read what's in the text box.
Tap another untap Merfolk you control. Cumena, Tyrant of Orazca.
Orazca.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Can't be blocked this turn.
Okay.
Tap 3 untap Merfolk you control. Draw a card. Tap 5 untap Merfolk you control. Put 1/+1/+1 counter on each Merfolk you control.
So it does a lot. That's a lot of writing.
And it's a lot to remember to do. So it's not going to be the easiest thing in the world to learn.
Oh, that's great.
But we certainly did not pick the hardest deck for you to learn.
Absolutely not.
It's a pretty strong deck. It's pretty competitive. I've played against one of these before, and you're like, well, uh-oh, yeah. I'm in danger.
It gets out of hand very quickly.
So it is it's what we call a tribal deck, meaning it focuses on a specific creature type, which is merfolk. So you're going to play a bunch of merfolk, mm-hmm. and you're going to swing at people to win, but we threw in other win cons too.
That's right.
So
there's more than one way to win.
Yeah. So why don't you go ahead, Coyle, and start talking about our thought process when we started building the deck.
Okay, so when we were building this deck, we built it in terms for Ryan. So Ryan is a brand new player. He's never played a game of Magic the Gathering before in his life.
Never, not even one.
So the one thing people always say is big green stompy is always the easiest way to learn things. I think you can boil that down to creature-based decks are the easiest way to learn how to play Magic the Gathering.
Mm-hmm.
So we went with Tribal, and yeah, so Ryan just found the copy of The Guardian Project.
Put Guardian Project in it. You have to.
It is actually a very strong card for the deck. So yeah, we built the deck as a creature tribal, merfolk tribal. Just pump out as many merfolks as you can. There's tons of merfolk lords that pump each other up and you know, make each other more powerful. But the deck is focused around Kumena himself. And getting out as many merfolks as possible, activating Kumena's abilities. We get to draw a bunch of cards in this deck, and we do have at least one alternate win condition. I don't think we built a second one, just the one alternate
win condition. Yeah, just the one alternate win condition in Simic Ascendancy.
Yep, so a Simic Ascendancy is a green and a blue. You can pay one a green and a blue to put a +1/+1 counter on a target creature you control, and whenever one or more +1/+1 counters are put on a creature you control, put that many growth counters on Simic Ascendancy. So if you activate Kumena, you have at least 5 merfolk out. You're putting at least 5 counters on Simic Ascendancy. And at the beginning of your upkeep, if Simic Ascendancy has 20 or more growth counters on it, you win the game.
So we wanted to support that with a couple of cards that we also added, like Marrow Commerce, that has at the beginning of your end step, untap all merfolk you control.
And Merc Fiend Liege, which says at the end step, at every end step, you untap all green and blue creatures you control, I believe. Hold on. I'm going to find it. I don't want to be wrong.
it's untap MU, all... not ME. Yes. I learned that when I was spelling this when we were making this deck.
And it's untap all green and or blue creatures you control during each other player's untap step. So it's kind of like a Seedborn Muse, but not all of your permanents. Just your green and blue creatures, which is particularly good for this Merfolk deck. Seedborn Muse is not included in the deck. Very good upgrade if you're ever thinking about upgrading this deck. Yeah, there's upgrades.
Certainly,
Ryan,
you can upgrade the deck.
Thank God.
We also, because it's a tribal deck, we added support for tribal cards specifically. So we do have there's a coat of arms in here, there's a Vanquisher's Banner, so we're going to make sure that these creatures are stronger than whatever they are. They get +1/+1 or potentially +10/+10
for every merfolk you have with, you know, coat of arms. Why not
if you got 10 merfolk out that all have lifelink or island walk,
mm-hmm. and then you can simply just tap one of them, make Kumena unblockable, and just kill someone with commander damage.
There's a lot of things you can do with the deck. Ryan looks a little overwhelmed. He's looking through these cards going, oh my goodness, what am I looking at?
But as we know, the best thing in Commander is what? The best thing in Magic is what?
Drawing cards.
So how are we going to draw cards in this deck besides Kumena's second ability, which allows to draw cards? So we play all three of these quote-unquote reprints with different names, enchantments. We just got the
One's
third one.
One's also an artifact. So to be fair, Bite Nefasa is also an artifact.
Bite Nefasa is an artifact. And we have Coastal Piracy, and we have Reconnaissance Mission, which all say whenever a creature you control deals combat damage to a player, you may draw a card.
So you too can feel overwhelmed by having 30 cards in your hand.
So what happens when you have 30 cards in your hand and you go to your end step?
You have to discard some of them.
You have to discard down a hand size. So what are we going to do to make sure that that doesn't happen?
We're going to play a card that says you have no max hand size.
I think we should play two cards that say you have no max
hand size. I think one should be a land and perhaps one an artifact.
I agree, as long as the artifact only costs 2 mana.
Okay, cool. So I'll hit the land, and that's a Reliquary Tower.
Mm-hmm. And I'll hit the artifact, and that's a Thought Vessel.
We're pretty good at this.
Yeah, it's like we built the deck together.
It's like we built this together and we were like prepared to talk about this deck tech together. Ryan, are you taking notes? You better learn how to play this before next week.
I can draw a lot of cards.
Yes.
And there's something in there that lets me have as many cards.
In your hand.
In your hand as you want without having to discard them.
Mm-hmm. Which is good.
Yeah, that's good. Awesome. Alternate win con by putting counters on things.
Mm-hmm. I got Coastal Pirates, which lets me, if a creature I control attacks, I get to draw a card.
It's just attacks? Hold on.
No, it's deal damage.
It has to deal damage.
Oh. It deals damage.
Gosh, I thought you blew my mind there for a second.
you learned something about magic from Ryan?
Yeah. That's just the one I'm reading that's currently.
Right. Yeah, that card. That's the card. Oh, by the way, fun fact, that's the card we were looking at when we recorded the episode titled Commander on the Port Side.
That's
because
right.
He's throwing the dude off the port side.
Yep. It's very true.
That's we planned that for this deck.
Totally.
Yep.
I had a copy and Andy didn't.
Yep. Yep, and that's why it's in here.
Mm-hmm.
But we also threw in our namesake enchantment, Guardian Project.
Gotta do it.
You gotta have it.
It draws cards.
And it's only good in Commander, so.
That's true.
You Unless, only see it in Commander.
I guess. I've never seen someone play a Lutri deck in Standard. It would be good for a Lutri deck in Standard, too. Because no card can share the name with another card.
So when we say you can tutor cards, what does that mean? Have we explained tutor to you? You can grab it from the deck and either put it in your hand or put it on top of your library. So you're grabbing it. They just call those tutors.
Yeah, you may search your library for. And it got those names from the cards that were printed originally. Vampiric Tutor, Demonic Tutor, Mystical Tutor,
Worldly
Tutor, Worldly Tutor.
So you do have some cards in here that say, search your deck for something. Like Forerunner of the Heralds. Search your deck for a Merfolk and put that card on top of it. So you can grab some Merfolk that are going to help you win.
There's definitely a little bit of a learning curve. At the very least for that, you have to know what to tutor for, what's situationally good at that point in time.
And you will not know for months.
Yeah, I still don't know sometimes for my decks that I've played
I play against decks online now because we're playing online with a lot of people at home. And I've never played against this deck. And then you get swept. You go, what? Well, that's what that deck does.
Yep.
Did not know what to do against it. Now I do.
Months is generous. It's going to take me long.
Soon you will be playing Magic the Gathering 3 times a week like us.
So some of the big payoffs in Merfolk. Merfolk is one of the strongest supported creature types of all creature types in Magic. I think maybe the one that might be even, I guess maybe two. Maybe two are more strongly supported, and that would be Goblins and Zombies.
Mm-hmm.
But Merfolk is right up there with them with all of their lords. And when we say a lord, Ryan, we are referring to a Merf or a creature that gives all other creatures of that type extra attack and defense, extra abilities.
We call that power and toughness.
Power and toughness, attack and defense. You know, I'm just so big easy to understand. You know what I'm saying? So I mean, there. If there's some generic ones, there's some Merfolk specific ones. I know I had an Adaptive Automaton and a Metallic Mimic sitting around, which you can name the creature type when it enters the battlefield. And particularly, I think Metallic Mimic is super good for this deck because creatures enter of the chosen type with a +1/+1 counter.
Yeah,
and +1/+1 counters are very important for this deck.
You've got Master of the Pearl Trident.
Absolutely.
And Lord of Atlantis.
Yeah.
Merfolk Sovereign.
Lord of Atlantis looked cool because it was a different color than the other one.
And it's white bordered.
So it's white bordered.
White bordered, for sure.
That's what white bordered means. Yeah.
Stuck out to me.
That's the only white bordered card in the deck, isn't it?
Only one I saw.
It is the only card you saw.
And I'll tell you.
It is, in fact, the only white bordered card that we put in here.
And I'll tell you the most difficult card that Ryan is going to play in this entire deck.
It could be the commander, not going to lie.
I'm going to say this card is probably even more than the commander, and that's Thada Adel, Acquisitor. Which is a 2/2 island walk for 1 blue-blue that says whenever it deals combat damage to a player, search that player's library for an artifact card and exile it. Then that player shuffles as their library until end of turn. You may play that card. So
we had one laying around, right? We didn't.
That's right.
We had it. We're like, we'll throw it in. But it's not an easy card to play.
Nope, but it is a good.
It's GERD. It's a GERD card.
GERD Murfer.
Ermagerd Murfer. So there are 33 creatures in this deck, 10 enchantments, 3 instants. We tried to we try to avoid instances are really hard to learn, mm-hmm. I think, learn how to play immediately. Six sorceries, 36 lands, because we play 36 or 37. The CMC of this deck is mostly at three.
Yes, and
very few cards go over three. So
you could play less than 36 lands in this deck. We do have, I think, about like 10 pieces of ramp. But the deck draws cards so well that it's okay to play that high of a land count, because you're going to end up drawing into your lands and you're going to have relevant merfolk in your hand. You're able to play.
Yeah, we'd like you to be able to play if you do have a hand that you don't draw land for three turns or something.
Yeah, very true.
We want you to be able to play. So should be a really fun deck.
Yeah, and I just want to quick the two other win conditions you have. Obviously, you're going to be swinging to win most of the time. You have Simic Ascendancy as an alternate win condition. Two cards that are going to help you get there with swinging to win are going to be an enchantment called Beastmaster's Ascension, which is for two and a green and is enchantment. Whenever a creature you control attacks, you may put a quest counter on Beastmaster's Ascension. As long as Beastmaster's Ascension has seven or more quest counters on it, creatures you control get +5/+5, which is pretty huge. If you swing with seven creatures all at once, it just happens, which is cool.
That's so good.
Yeah. And then the other one is Overrun, which is a sorcery.
So when I do, you will be with me?
Right? Yeah, we'll play with you. We'll play your first game for sure.
100%.
We wouldn't abandon
you.
You
just
like
send
that.
Me somewhere and you're like, he's going to play now.
This is Ryan. He's going to play this game. Good luck.
I think my first game of Standard was against a stranger. I just went and was like, I'm going to go play. I played at Gamers Gauntlet. My first tournament was there. I think I was talking to Andy at the time, and Andy wasn't going to go play there. And I'm like, I built the deck. I'm going to go play. And I played against strangers, and holy crap, were those people so nice and helped me learn how to play Magic the Gathering better than I had understood it at that time. So obviously we are your local community right now. Maybe we'll introduce you to our local community as well. Very friendly and accepting, and you'll be able to learn this deck no problem.
Easy. Easy peasy.
Easy peasy.
We could play online too. That'd be fun.
Yeah.
So, that is the deck tech for this week. So that deck is yours now. So now you have to learn how to play.
That's right.
We've been saying, no excuses. Right? So we've been saying, we're like, Ryan's going to learn how to play the game. He's like, I don't know anything about this game. Now you're going to have to with us.
Still don't.
And I think that brings us to the end of this episode.
Yes.
It's been a whole year. We're excited to do this more. We're gonna make better stuff this year, even more.
That's right.
That's the goal.
We're going to come out with more content, better content. Not that our content wasn't good, but it's going to be even better. Even better content.
Even better. So thank you to all of our patrons who are supporting us. You guys are all wonderful. And we appreciate you coming back every week for this. And I think we've played with all of you on stream at some point. We played with all of our patrons. We played with Brian and Torin and Andy and Chris. We played with everybody. Mm-hmm. So we should send out some tokens to some people. And then if you want to be on our stream or hang out with us, reach out to us.
Yes.
So you can find our podcast on Twitter at Guardian Pod. And you can find me at AT Flory.
You can find me at Wormcoil Engine.
I don't know.
You can do it. You can do it. Where can we find producer Ryan?
It's on Instagram. Or I guess I have a Twitter.
You have a Twitter account.
I don't really use the Twitter.
I tagged you in it today.
At what is my
Twitter? What, you don't really don't, use it, do
I
you?
I don't use Twitter. I used to.
Ryan was not prepared for this. I apologize.
While you're looking that up, I would say thank you for the deck. That's really sweet of you guys. And I will learn how to play, and it's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm.
And also that I'm really excited and proud of you guys, because it is a lot of work to do this, and it's been a lot of fun doing it with you. And I know, even though I'll always forget on a Wednesday, it's been a lot of fun, and I've learned a lot about what I do, and I appreciate you guys letting me be part of it. So thank you.
Of course.
And also, you guys do a lot of work, and it's really cool to see how you've gotten so much better at this.
Your Twitter account is at RyanNichols10.
Nice.
10, huh?
There was 10 other ones, 9 other ones before me. I just couldn't get there.
That's really funny.
Are there any of your other shows that you want to plug?
Yes. So you produce other podcasts. I know we briefly mentioned them before. So where can our followers check out the other podcasts you work with?
Well, there's one that's the pursuit of figuring it out. It's two 20-something girls in the pursuit of figuring it out. They haven't recorded in a few months.
Well, understandably.
Understandably.
Yep. Understandably.
One lives across the street, but like the girl, she.
But like we said, it's hard to do it by yourself.
So. Yeah, and social distance. Yeah, it is very hard to do it by yourself.
And one is a nonprofit that they haven't released any episodes, so.
Okay. So we're the ones that are doing the most content for you.
So of all your podcasts, which one is your favorite Magic the Gathering podcast?
So.
So about that.
This one. You guys are my favorite podcast.
Oh.
Absolutely.
Are we your favorite podcast?
Like in general?
Yeah.
No.
I wasn't expecting it, yes. I just had to ask it.
You're the only podcast I've heard every single episode to.
Whoa.
All right.
Because
you,
I have to and
you,
help me.
You have to edit them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can actually say the same thing.
Yeah.
I've listened to all our episodes too. Mm-hmm. Even the one episode I wasn't on.
As vain as it sounds, we make me laugh.
I laugh when I listen to our episode.
I like listening
to us.
Ryan
thinks it's so funny because most people hate the sound of their voice.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy with the sound.
I actually don't hate how I sound. It's pretty great. I think it sounds good.
Yep.
You want to listen to us? Yeah. I'll listen to us.
I listen to me. You want to listen to me?
Does that make us vain? Probably.
Probably. But that's okay. As long as you live it, love it.
If I make a
problem, live, love,
it's
laugh.
Gonna be out of that.
Back to our outro.
Oh yeah, we were doing.
Sorry,
that.
We were. No, you're fine. If you are on Discord and you're interested in joining, we have a Discord for the podcast. I'm seeing that there's a lot of chatter and there's a lot of games that we could probably, if you're looking for Commander games, there's something that happens every day.
Yeah.
Like anybody looking to play tonight, and they usually get a group of people together. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot happening in there. So come join us. We would love to have you there. You can also email us at guardianprojectpod@gmail.com. It's not guardianprojectpodcast@gmail.com because I did not set up the Forward podcast. And you look back and you go, I wish I had set that up as podcast and not pod. But send us an email if there's anything you want to talk about or you have any requests for topics. And we're happy you've joined us for the last year.
Yes. Thanks for sticking with us.
Yes. And we hope you join us for the next however long we're going to do this.
Forever.
We will never stop this. No. So Ryan, you're in it for life now.
I mean, we were joking about it before that we had 999 more years to go.
So I could make an intro about Thousand Year Storm.
Or Thousand Year Elixir, yeah. Exactly.
I wanted to do an intro so badly about the word year. Only 999 more years for me to drink this Thousand Year Elixir. Cheers. I was like, this is stupid.
All of our intros are stupid, let's be honest. I did mine about dying shirts today. Because commanders can die now.
I joked on the card Time Walk.
You did.
Oh my, how time walks.
Oh my, how time walks.
Anyway, we will see you all next week, episode 53. Not a monumental episode.
No, but it will be fun. Like
Yeah, we're probably going to talk. We'll, a lot more of Core 21 is going to be out.
Yeah, Core 21, we'll talk Commander Deaths.
Commander death triggers, that rule has changed. So we'll talk about that. You've probably seen, we retweeted the rules change. We've been tweeting about a lot of the spoilers. So we will be discussing all of those next week.
Yeah, tune in.
Thanks, everyone. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
Now you have a commander deck.
That's right.
Thank you.
It's honestly a commander deck that is so much fun.
Both of It's a really, really good one. And after we made it, I said, we were talking on Discord a few nights ago, and I said, I kind of just really want to keep this. Like, this deck seems really fun. I'd like to get a couple games in. Can I just borrow it?
Well, whenever you want it, just give me a call, and I'll let you borrow it.